Welcome to Equipped, a podcast by Connection Church. Equipped is a conversation about multiplying gospel community and fueling spiritual growth. We have one clear goal, to equip leaders to multiply. We want to help people follow Jesus, make disciples, lead small groups, and plant churches. My name is Jordan Thigpen, and I'll be leading you through today's conversation. Let's get equipped. So today we're still picking up on our series talking about a better game plan. In case this is your first time joining us, thank you. Welcome. Thanks for joining us on the podcast today. This podcast is all about helping leaders to multiply, to help equip leaders to multiply, to give people the tools and resources to multiply. There's other earlier episodes where we break down what we mean by multiplication, but in essence, what we mean when we say multiply is we want to focus and emphasize the things of our spiritual growth and of our spiritual development that helps a leader or a follower of Jesus to help another leader or follower of Jesus to follow Jesus even better. And so we unpack that in earlier episodes in more detail. But today we are picking up or continuing on our series about a better game plan. And the premise of it is this, is that we believe that through Christ, God has written a better story for us on earth, for us as human beings. We as followers of Jesus cast our hope on that better story. And so when I say that, I'm thinking about all the ways that we suffer, that we struggle, that we have frustrations, that we have limitations in this life. And we as followers of Jesus look around at all of these things and say, there's a better story than that. There's a better story written for us. And we believe in faith that Jesus is that better story, that God saw our struggle, that God saw our difficulty. He saw our frustration, our loneliness, our brokenness, our inability to live as we were created to live. And he intervenes in that story in the person of Jesus and invites us back into his presence by dying on our behalf and by us believing in the finished work and resurrection of Christ and believing that he is who he says he is, that he has done what he has said he has done, that all of our hope, that all of our joy and all of our anticipation for an eternity is placed on Christ, meaning that we believe and trust that he can secure a future for us that we couldn't work to earn and develop for ourselves. We say that that message, what we see in Scripture, that that message is the gospel. That is the good news of how God has extended salvation to us as mankind. And we believe that that is the better story that God has written for us. And what we see then is in light of that better story that there has to be a better game plan for life. What I observe as a pastor is that a lot of people in the South have embraced the better story, but not the better game plan. That a lot of folks sit in our churches week after week just wanting the better story to be reapplied to their life over and over and over and over again. That's why I think you see a lot of rededications and people giving their life to Christ again and again and again and again, is because at the end of the day, after they say yes to the better story, they don't know how to participate in the better game plan. And a lot of churches don't invite people to invite or to step into a better game plan. But the better game plan is everything that we as Connection Church have built our ministries around. Things like community, things like serving, things like generosity, things like church planting, or evangelism, most specifically in our values, our ministries help cultivate those characteristics, those cultures in the life of our church that we don't want. We don't have a serving ministry. We have a culture of serving as we emulate the person of Christ, and that manifests itself in something called guest services. We don't have a generosity ministry, we have a culture of generosity, and then people participate in that culture by giving in a recurring way online, in person on Sunday, by fundraising for mission trips, for giving to the Connection Network for us to plant churches, for giving to this church so that we can plant churches and fuel ministry, and so on and so forth. We don't have a community ministry. We have a culture of community, and we seek to foster community through connect groups, really, and also through serving and through short-term mission trips and through so many other ways that we build community. And so I have in this series been trying to unpack different dynamics, what I would say in normal church life. We're trying to look at all the different things that are just normal parts of a follower of Jesus's church experience. And I'm wanting to challenge, how can we get the most out of these normal rhythms? And so we've looked at worship, we've looked at serving, and we've looked at a couple different areas. But today, I want to talk about how church planting is a part of God's better game plan. I want to say that again. Church planting is a part of God's better game plan, and most specifically, church planting is a part of God's better game plan for every single follower of Jesus. Church planting is not just reserved for somebody who's a lead church planter. It's not just reserved for underserved, impoverished communities around the world, whether that's in inner cities or whether that's in other continents and third world countries. It's not reserved either for church splits. That's a huge paradigm for the context that we're in, the South, the American South, is that church planting, quote unquote, is a result of one family got mad at another family within a church, and so they started 15th Baptist Church over in whatever community, or, you know, these long slogan named churches of free will, gospel, true believing, church of the Most High of the Nazarene, of these long named churches, that it's a result of a split after a split after a split after a split. That is not part of God's better game plan, the splintering of churches and splintering of communities and splintering of the gospel. That's not to say that denominations are not even a necessary thing. I think that there can be a missiological purpose for people in good faith and in good partnership to have different biblical convictions and different beliefs about things that some folks need to be able to go and lead and do the things that they need to do in a way that just manifests itself in different gospel ministry. But that's a whole other conversation. But for the people of Connection Church, we want to keep the gospel the main thing. We want to keep the person of Jesus at the front and center of everything that we do. And so we're asking ourselves, how can we redeem all of these normal aspects of ministry, be they, and some others that I want to tackle is, how do we get the most out of giving? How do we get the most? How is hearing preaching a part of God's better game plan? But today I want to talk about why church planting is a part of God's better game plan for every single person that calls Connection Church home. Be they a first-time guest, be they a staff member, I think that church planting should play a key role, an equally important role for the discipleship or the individual's following of Jesus here in the life of our church. I would go so far as to say this: church planting is not non-negotiable. Church planting is non-negotiable in following Jesus. I would go as far as to say that. Church planting should be a non-negotiable thing that you as a follower of Jesus participate in. It's something that you should long for, that you should pray for, that you should help cultivate in the life of our church is something that you should want the Lord Jesus to grow you in your understanding of it, in your participation in it. Now, that's not to say every single person should go out and be a lead church planter, but it is a value deeply at the heart of Jesus. That's what I'm getting at today, is that the value of why we should plant more churches and that we should plant more churches and the fact that we should leverage the life of our church for the purpose of planting more churches. That's what I want to talk about today. And I want to say this kind of before we get into, I have a notebook page full of reasons for why this is a part of God's better game plan. The caution that I would give us is this, is that church planting is really hard. And I don't want us to, as an audience, to take it for granted that it just happens. But just because we've been at a church and a family of churches that has planted churches, don't take it for granted that we'll get to do it again. We should be working really hard and leveraging our ministries in order to see it happen because it is so hard. We are very fortunate and blessed that we've been able to see church plants like Connection Vidalia and Connection Rincon. If you missed the conversation that I had with Michael, like Michael Page was somebody who came up in his following of Jesus through Connection Church before he went out and planted a church. And that is a wild success story. That's the type of thing that we should be praying for and working toward. And I'm going to give you several reasons why that is the case. But I wanted to give us a sort of a side note on the front end that just because we've done it before, don't take it for granted. It still takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of intentional prayer, and it takes an intentional strategy. I'm a big proponent of prayer and strategy, not only leaning on your strategy to accomplish things, but I'm also not a fan of just leaning on prayer with no activity and no thought put into a strategy. We want to be a prayer and strategy people, and church planting is the apex of that. Church planting is the apex of needing a strategy, but you got to douse it in prayer because only God can do it. So that is a good place for us to start, is that church planting requires the Holy Spirit. So this is why church planting, this is probably a number one, top of the list, why church planting is a part of God's better game plan, because it requires the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever been to a church service in a place before that just feels dead. The room feels dead. The singing feels dead. The preaching feels dead. The life of the church just feels dead. I don't say that pounding my chest or even with any sense of arrogance or pride, or there's no joy that I take or any of us should take in that. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. It's so hard to see. It's churches that this is what's hard for me is in thinking about the church planting world, is that what I know is that there are churches that families leveraged their careers and their lives and their influence to see a church planted and to give their life over to seeing a church birthed into a community, and only for it to die in the second generation, or only for it to die in their own lifetime. And it's hard. It's really, really hard. And the truth of the matter is that every single church dies, all of them. Churches have a 100% death rate. That's hard to hear. That's hard to think about. The churches that the Apostle Paul planted, they are not in rotation today. They are not in activity today. They are not doing gospel ministry today. No church that Peter planted, no church that James pastored, no church that every single church from the very beginning has died. They have had a life cycle. All churches have life cycles. But what I would say is that there's almost always a time when a church winds up closing its doors And that is a reality that we need to embrace, but it's also motivation for us that we need to plant more because the community needs a fresh expression of the gospel. But I digress. Why it's a part of a better game plan is that because church planting requires the Holy Spirit. Think back to what I was initially saying, that if you ever been to a dead service, a church where the singing was dead, but then you go to another church and the singing just feels alive. It really might genuinely be the same songs sang at two different churches. One feels dead, one feels alive. The one that feels alive is because the Holy Spirit is present and there and is living and is active. And the people that pour into the life of that church plant, they require the Holy Spirit. From the person greeting somebody in the parking lot, to smiling at the door, to serving coffee, to doing announcements, to singing, to preaching, to the prayer team, those people require the Holy Spirit in order to make a difference in people's lives. Now, if it's just providing social services, if it's just providing a fun and inviting atmosphere, if it's just performing even with a level of excellence on a Sunday morning from a worship standpoint, or if it's preaching messages that even other preachers would be proud of, none of those things actually require the Holy Spirit. All of those things can be done under a person's individual skill and gift set. And I say that with confidence, but with sadness at the same time, because there's a lot of testimonies from pastors that in the midst of burnout, they're still preaching. And in the midst of unhealth, and I mean, you think about how many celebrity pastor scandals that you've ever heard. And then if you really go back and think about it, they were in the midst of having an affair and preaching messages. They're in the midst of stealing from the church and they're preaching messages. A person can continue to preach apart from the Holy Spirit. And I think if you were to talk to really any of us on staff, especially any of us that preach pretty regularly, there's definitely been times where you feel a sense of the Holy Spirit more readily than you do other times. That just the demands of life or the pace of ministry or your own personal struggle with prayer or whatever it might be. I think the only point that I'm trying to get at is that, yeah, you can really do some of this stuff apart from the power of the Holy Spirit, but you cannot see a church planted. You cannot go in. You would have no reason to, I guess is what I'm getting at. I guess that's not true. People do frequently try to plant churches and they have no genuine burden from the Holy Spirit or a desire to see Jesus's name made great. I can think of lots of scenarios like that. But to see lives, genuine lives changed, you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see people get saved, if you want to see people experience real life change, if you want to see people set free from bondage, if you want to see people set free from really difficult lifestyles. And in other words, if you want to really reach the lost, you've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit if you want to see a church planted, and especially that impacts lost people. If you just want to shuffle sheep, if you just want to shuffle some Christians that didn't like the worship here or didn't like this person there or didn't like the preaching here or didn't like the way people dress there, and you just want to shuffle sheep from other churches into your church, you don't really need the Holy Spirit. You just need their flavor. But to make a difference in lostness, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Church planting requires the Holy Spirit. Here's another reason why church planting is a part of a better game plan. Church planting is the Great Commission. So if you're listening and you're 20 minutes in and you're like, Jordan, why haven't you like mentioned anything from the Bible? All right, here you go. Matthew 28 is the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Great Commission, the one that we're all very familiar with. And you may say, Jordan, I don't hear anything about church planting in that. Okay, well, all right, let's look at Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 28. What the disciples did when they received the Great Commission is that they turned around and they planted churches. That is the book of Acts. That is what they did. under the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples went out. They were dispersed from Jerusalem, and everywhere they went, they planted churches. So I would cite Matthew 28 and the entire book of Acts. And then I would cite all of Paul's letters, which is him writing letters to the churches that he planted. I would cite all of the pastoral epistles where Paul is writing to Titus and to Timothy, where he either helped them plant the church or they went and planted the church, and now he's telling them to finish the work of church planting by putting other leaders in place. So church planting is the Great Commission. There is no other institution given the mandate, go and make disciples, other than the church. The church is given the marching order, go and make disciples. And to do that, what we see in the earliest followers of Jesus, the apostles plus everybody who's reached by the apostles plus all the other people that they turn around and reach, is that they go and they plant churches, that they start new communities of the gospel that are called the church. And they do this from city to city, from region to region, from country to country, and eventually from continent to continent. All right, so church planting is the Great Commission. Church planting requires the Holy Spirit. And so let me share like maybe a practical one. Statistically, church planting reaches the lost better than any other ministry strategy. So you can do evangelism trainings. Those are great. You can have an outreach pastor. That's great. You can take short-term mission trips. That's great. You can send pastors to evangelism conferences and on and on and on. You can do a lot of different things. But if you want to make a difference in lostness, if you want to see people that are far from God get saved, plant churches. The number one way to reach people who are far from God statistically is church planting. Church planting reaches the lost. And I think that God is honored and glorified when we leverage our ministries to reach the lost, to glorify his name and expand the souls that have access to the name of Jesus, that become persuaded that he is their Lord and Savior, that he is exactly who he says he is. God is honored by that. That's a part of his better game plan, that we would participate in that. And the way to reach those lost people that are far from God is through planting more churches. Let me give you another practical one. Church planting gives the ultimate practical purpose for everything else that we do as a church. In other words, church planting is the logical conclusion. It's the logical manifestation. It is the logical fruit of everything else that we do. It gives a practical purpose. So, Pastor, why should we serve? Pastor, why should we be generous? Pastor, why should we be in community? Pastor, what do we do with the Great Commission personally? My answer to all of those things would be church planting. For sure, not everybody is going to be called to be a lead church planter, but everybody is compelled by Scripture to participate in the Great Commission. And what we can see throughout the book of Acts, what we can see throughout Paul's letters, is that it wasn't just the person who was given ultimate pastoral authority at each of these churches. It is the person who invested their life into seeing a new window into the kingdom of God be established, be that through their, like Barnabas sold land and gave it to those who were in need. We see Priscilla and Aquila just accompany Paul, and they did practical ministry. They did evangelism. They even corrected people who were in the midst of false teaching. We know Lydia was a very wealthy woman that just opened her house and her resources to the local church. It doesn't say that their professions changed. It just was that their confession changed, and that they began to confess Jesus as Lord is in the community that they lived, and they helped establish a local church. This is what I would challenge our people with. Connection Church Statesboro is either in the process of being planted or it is in the process of dying. That's just the life cycle of churches. Do we believe that the best is yet to come? If we do, we'll continue to see this church planted in this community by more and more people leveraging their lives for the sake of the gospel, even right here in Statesboro. But we'll also lean into this need to plant more churches. And part of our vibrancy will be sending out people to the lost. There's a quote in a book called Gaining by Losing by a guy named J.D. Greer. One of his points, one of his rationale for why should we send out more people is that the presence of God accompanies those who send. Listen to this. The church is now Jesus' vehicle for the completion of his mission. Jesus finished the purchase of our salvation, paying the full price of our sin on the cross and shattering the powers of death in the resurrection. But the mission of salvation is not yet complete. As Martin Luther said, it wouldn't matter if Jesus died 1,000 times if no one heard about it. Through us, Jesus continues the work of salvation that he commenced in his death and resurrection. In that sense, his work is not finished. Us participating in sending people out is making more and more and more windows into heaven available for more and more and more people that are far from God that need to hear the good news of Christ saving and atoning and sanctifying work that he accomplished on the cross. And church planting, working towards that, the work that it takes to raise up a church planter, the resources that it takes to send out a church planting team, the sacrifice that it takes from individuals and families to go and work jobs and move homes and help participate in volunteer capacity to see a church planted. It's the ultimate practical conclusion to serving, generosity, community, and I would say even aspiration. Like, what is a young man supposed to do in the life of our church that begins to aspire to be used by God? I can think, just face after face after face pops into my mind of people in our church that are hungry, that aspire to be used by God. And I'm not even saying they feel quote unquote called to ministry yet. I'm just saying they have a hunger to make a difference in this world on behalf of the name of Jesus. Church planting is the logical conclusion. Why? Because it is the Great Commission, because it requires the Holy Spirit, and that is the best way to reach the lost. And that's what we should be funneling that aspiration towards. Church planting gives the ultimate practical purpose for everything else that we do, like serving, generosity, community, and participating in the Great Commission. Let me give you another one. Here's another reason why church planting is God's better game plan. Church planting requires people to grow in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So just like church planting requires the Holy Spirit, at a practical level, this is the sanctifying vehicle for those who want to follow Jesus. Because church planting requires such broad participation, it requires people to step up and step into roles that they might not possibly aspire to otherwise, but they love their church and they love Jesus, and they don't want the people of their church to suffer, be that from we don't have enough kids volunteers, we don't have enough people participating in worship, we don't have people greeting, we don't have enough people helping with setup and tear down, we don't have a prayer team, and so on and so forth. And a lot of these people see their pastor and the people and the energy and work that a pastor puts into his job, and they feel compelled to help. Now let's play this in reverse. Unfortunately, at a church like ours, a bigger church, that what we suffer from is resource excellence, or really resources and excellence. Everyone assumes things are done at such a level of excellence that, well, I could never do that. Or they assume we already have the resources that we need and say, oh, well, they don't need me. Which leads me to another point. Why church planting is a part of God's better game plan is because church planting destroys spectators. You can't, you, 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 there's such a broad level of participation to see a church planted. Everybody is counted on. Like, you're either a missionary or you're uncomfortable. You're either like an evangelist or you're uncomfortable. Like, everything about church planting compels the sanctification process in people's lives, that they feel like, wow, everybody here is sharing the gospel with people at work. I see why that's important. I see why I should also do that. Or, wow, everybody serves if at some level, once a month, twice a month, every week. I think about the earliest days of Connection Statesboro. Like, there's a sense of camaraderie. Like, to this day, when I see Scott Sanhagen, which is Olivia Sanhagen's husband, I remember the days of getting there super, 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 super early to set up and tear down. And I feel a missional connection to Scott because we sacrificed for something together. I think of the people in my connection. I just be real honest. I think of the people in my first connect group that I ever led when I was a college student. I remember the people that stepped up and would show up with me to come help do setup because of the great love that we had for our church. And I remember the ones that didn't. And I'm not holding a grudge against them, but I could see the spark of the love of Jesus. I could see the spark that the Spirit was beginning to spark in people's lives. But I could see the bigger that we got and the more college students that we reached, the disease of resource excellence, the disease of they don't need me, or I could never do that. I think about that sometimes, of like, what would that look like in the life of our church? Like, what would we have to do to lean into a sense of gospel urgency that would absolutely destroy spectators? And I don't mean destroy them as in chase them off. I don't mean overburden them to the point of despair. I just mean they feel like there's no excuse for them to not participate in some capacity. I mean, the truth is, in the life of our church, is that probably less than 50% of those who are heart and soul at our church actually participate in giving. Less than a fourth of our church is actually heart and soul. And just on and on and on. There's so many different things that, even everybody who is heart and soul doesn't necessarily serve. It's so easy. I don't even have to keep like citing statistics. I think if you took some time to just look around, you would see we have so many people, but at the same time, we have such a need for more people to step up and participate. When things look excellent, and when things, this is just true too, that when the Holy Spirit is moving, there's some people that just don't feel like they could be used in that way. But in church planting, when you're talking about like 50 people, in the days when a church plant is 50 people, we're counting on everybody. Everybody's got a role they can play. I remember something, Brandon talks about this a lot, that in the early days, you're either a guest or a greeter. If you've been here more than one time, you're now an official greeter. that was just the culture, that like everybody had a role to play in the planting of a church. And even capturing it in culture like that, where if you're either a guest or a greeter, and if you've been here more than once, congratulations, you're a greeter. That's awesome, man. That's like, that really gives teeth to like this following of Jesus, and not even just following Jesus specifically, but participating of existing in the life of the church. So church planting destroys spectators because it requires people to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, to exist as a harmonious, growing, life-giving, you know, all of those to me are just synonyms for full of the Holy Spirit. I hope you hear my heart in that. A life-giving, thriving, growing, an effective church plant. For those things to happen, and not just church plant, I meant for those things to be true of a church, that means the church has to be full of the Holy Spirit. And where there's where the Holy Spirit is moving in the lives of people, there's going to be fruit of the Holy Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith. I'm not going through the song here live on the mic, but you know what I mean. That there has to be a growing sense, and not just of individual fruits of the Holy Spirit, but how those things play out together in the life of the church. So church planting requires people to grow in the fruits of the Spirit, because along the way it destroys spectators. And here's something else I would say. In light of that, in light of the fact that it destroys spectators, and in light of the fact that it requires people to grow, to be sanctified, to display the fruits of the Spirit, it protects the people. Church planting protects the people. It's really easy for a church to become very inward looking. It's really easy for churchgoers to become very self-centered and focused on, well, how's this serve me? I mean, you as a Connect Group leader, you're familiar with this. You've talked to enough people either that have come to your group or that have left your group that say, well, this group just doesn't really meet my needs. That is not a multiplication-minded person. That is not a person that sees the needs of a group or a community and sees themselves as a pathway to a solution. They see as a reason for why they should go elsewhere. Church planting protects the people because it compels people to not just be a consumer, but to be a contributor. There's just too much accountability and teamwork to get distracted by petty things. Like it forces you like to it. Not forces you, really it empowers you. I mean, and actually this is just living in light of the Proverbs, right? If you go to the book of Proverbs, that that there is an aspect of us growing in our faith where we're able to overlook offenses. Like, because there's such a need for the gospel to both go forward in the community, and also for the church to be planted, it compels you to set aside things that are petty in order to participate in the mission. Church planting really protects the life of people. It protects the spiritual dynamics of people because I think it destroys spectators and it requires people to be sanctified. In other words, it would eliminate a lot of what we experience here at Connection Statesboro, which is people just feel comfortable drifting in and drifting out. And at the same time, being vocal about their opinion, it does not enable people to just come and consume. I think God has really blessed our church that we can sustain a lot of that, where people can come and sit. And I mean, it's pretty frequent in Heart and Soul that I hear stories like, "Yeah, man, I've been coming to this church. I'm new around here. I've been here for only a year." It's like, man, if you've been here for 2 weeks, like, let's dive in, let's get after it. It's probably just a little bit more of my personality. But there is something about that I am concerned about, that a person could sit and just consume. Now, there's outlier situations. I don't want to give caveat upon caveat, like for people that have been genuinely hurt, that people are in a season of restoration, for people that are in a season of needing to be mended and restored. But I would say even to them, that's going to happen the closer you are to the heart of the church, not when you're out of fingertips length of the church. And just coming and sitting to the listening to the worship and listening to the preaching without any sense of ownership and buy-in, I think God's blessing is uniquely stored there for those who press in. And that's where that needs to happen anyway. Church planting protects the people. And then lastly, church planting, or really all things multiplication. Church planting is blessed by God in a weird way. that's the last thing I would say to you is for why church planting is a part of God's better game plan is because church planting is weirdly blessed by God. I would say that God preserves some of his covenantal blessings for those who send, who send people out for the purpose of mission, but also for those who go. That God reserves a special portion of his presence and a special portion of his work in the lives of those, for those who go. J.D. Greer says it this way, Jesus' promises of greatness in the church are always related to sending. Jesus' promises of help to those who, or sorry, to those devoted to sending are truly astounding. To be honest, they are so astounding that sometimes I have a hard time taking them seriously. In the Gospel of John, Jesus told his disciples that they should be excited that he was leaving them because that meant he could send them another helper who would make them more effective than he could have than he could make them. I promise I'm good at reading. Sorry. It is your advantage that I go away, he said, because then you will get the Holy Spirit. Imagine how hard that must have sounded to these disciples. It was to their advantage that Jesus leave. How awesome would it be to have Jesus as your personal pastor? Every sermon would be a 10, every mission strategy heaven sent, and even every decision divine. If you had a theological question, he could just answer it. If offerings were low one month, he could send out a deacon to catch a fish with $1,000 in its mouth. Even those benefits would be inferior, Jesus tells us, to a church of ordinary Christians empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that's how I want to leave you coming full circle, is that that Jesus uniquely laid out a plan. I just want you to think about that. Jesus intended that the local church would send people out to plant churches. That Jesus said it was better that he should leave, that the Spirit would come, that we would be empowered, and that many of us would go. I would just challenge you that if, as you've listened to this, I just ask yourself the question, have you already had the thought creep in your mind, oh, not me, or, oh, I could never do that? I want you to really reevaluate that. I want you to ask yourself why, over the course of 2,000 plus years of historic Christianity, with the good news of the gospel having made its way to you, why are you uniquely precluded from participation? Friends, you are gifted to make a difference for the sake of the gospel. You're already doing that, and the fact that you've planted connect groups. But how can we as a church uniquely leverage our both our group's ministry and all of our ministries in order to see churches planted? What I would say is that the safest place for me in my mind, and it's not about safety, but the thing that we as a network of churches, when we evaluate, could a person plant a church? We ask the question, well, what have they been like in Connect Group? Have they faithfully led? Have they multiplied a Connect Group? Do they have a knack for being able to go and plant new Connect Groups? That's going to be a good church planter. And even if they've only done it once, doesn't mean that God can't begin to put the burden on a person to begin to go and begin the process of getting ready to go and plant a church. But I will tell you is that in the midst of that exercise of preparing you to go, you're going to be planting a Connect Group. And you're going to be multiplying connect groups. And so in all of these things, I think that's the thing that I would want to leave us with is church planting uniquely requires the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that's why it was better that he should go, that the helper might come. And friends, there's so much in church life today that we can do under our own power with no dependence on the Holy Spirit. So maybe that's what I would challenge you with as we wrap up is, what are you counting on the Holy Spirit to show up and do in your life right now? What am I, as a pastor of our church, counting on the Holy Spirit to show up and make a difference in today? And not just counting on what the Holy Spirit has done in the past, but what is the Holy Spirit wanting to do next? And how can I uniquely participate in that? And here's what I know. This is what's so legit about the Bible, is that some of the answer is already given. God desires to see churches planted. I will die on that hill. And I don't think it's a hard one to die on, because it's so just, you know, ubiquitous in Scripture. It's just everywhere. You can see it everywhere, all over the place, that God's heart is for people of every tribe, tongue, and nation to be surrounded, the throne at the end of all things, worshiping Him, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, and church planting brings those things into reality. It focuses the scope when we're looking downrange to see what's down there, which is God's glory manifested in different communities all over the world. And the way that the apostles did that, when they were given the command to go and make disciples, they planted churches. They counted on the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that the Spirit being better came true, and that promise is still true today, that we need to go and plant churches, and we need to leverage our ministries to raise up leaders that can go and plant churches. You are not precluded from that. I am not precluded from that. We have a responsibility, and not just a responsibility, friends. We have the joy to participate in church planting. And I would tell you that that is, in fact, part of God's better game plan.